kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there. And coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished. And said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Second only to his mission to save, Jesus came into this world in order to teach. God sent his son into this world to be a preacher, not to be a politician, not to be a president, but to be a preacher. And so what we find as we read through the Gospels is that Jesus went about from town to town preaching the good news of the kingdom, proclaiming and revealing gospel mysteries, those things that had been hidden for generations. He now brings to light and reveals to those who listened to him. And he often did this. He often went about teaching and preaching by means of parables, what one person has called earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. Earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. And parables were Jesus' favorite teaching methods. And here in chapter 13 of the Gospel of Matthew, what we find here are seven such parables, and this morning we shall consider the final three of these. And as we look at them, the challenge that lies before you is this. Will you listen to what Jesus says? Will you listen to him? Do you have ears to hear what Jesus says in these parables? Will you honor the Lord Jesus? Will you honor him by listening to him as your great teacher, as your great prophet? That is the challenge that lies before all of us this morning as we go through these final three parables. And what we see this morning as we look at these parables and then at the end of the chapter are three particular things. We find in the first place Jesus highlighting the value of his kingdom. That's the first thing that we see Jesus doing. In these parables, he highlights the value of the kingdom. And he does so in these two short parables in verses 44 to 46. You can see that in the first parable, Jesus likens the kingdom of heaven to treasure, this treasure that's hidden in a field, which a man then finds. And in the second parable, he likens the kingdom of heaven to a pearl of great value that a merchant comes across as he's searching for fine pearls. The point being that the kingdom is supremely valuable. That's the basic point that both of these parables make, that the kingdom of heaven is supremely valuable. There's nothing like it. It's worth more than anything else you could ever come across. It is supremely valuable. So much so, in fact, that it's worth giving up everything in order to obtain it. It's that valuable. It's worth giving up everything in order to obtain it. Both men, you'll notice in these parables, sell everything that they have in order to purchase what they found. And, moreover, they do so gladly. We're told, aren't we, in the first parable, that the man who finds treasure hidden in a field then joyfully sells all that he has in order to buy that field. And we can assume that the merchant who finds the pearl of great value experiences a similar joy when he finds that. Why? Why are they so full of joy, so joyful that they're willing to sell everything that they have in order to obtain it? Well, it's because what they found is supremely valuable. And that everything by comparison is not just less valuable, it's actually loss by comparison. Everything by comparison to the kingdom of heaven is seen by these men as loss, as not worth having. That's the point that Jesus is making in these two short parables. He's not saying, of course, that we can literally buy the kingdom of heaven. That would go against all of his other teaching. No, the point that he is making is that when you find the kingdom of heaven, when you come across it, you should be absolutely determined to have it, to possess it, to acquire it. Why? Because there's nothing better. There's nothing more worth having than the kingdom of heaven. Everything next to it is rubbish. It's considered as loss. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that there is nothing more valuable than the kingdom of heaven? Do you believe what Jesus says here? Do you agree with his estimation of the kingdom of heaven? Do you think that there really is nothing more precious than his kingdom? That there really is no greater treasure, no finer pearl? Do you believe that? We may come across the kingdom in different ways. That's actually one slight difference, I think, between these two parables. We see that the man in the field almost just happens to come across this treasure. He's not really looking for it. He just happens across it. Whereas the merchant, he's going out in search of fine pearls. He's really looking for fine pearls. And you know, there are some people who, in a sense, just come across the kingdom quite by chance. Quite by chance. They're not really looking for God or for truth or for meaning or for any of these things. They're not really looking for the kingdom, but they just come across it almost by chance. Whereas there are others who have been searching for God, for truth, for meaning, for purpose, all their lives. We come across the kingdom of heaven in different ways. But the question is, however you find it, when you do find it, do you react as these men do? Do you say, I must have that? I've got to have that because there really is nothing more important. There really is nothing more valuable. Is that your estimation of the kingdom? Is that your estimation of the king of this kingdom, Jesus Christ? Do you say, I will give up everything in order to obtain that? I see everything as loss by comparison. I'll give up everything and I'll do so with joy because there's nothing, nothing at all more precious than the kingdom. Do you agree with what Jesus says here? You know, there really is no one better off than the Christian. That's the truth. There really is no one better off, no one richer than you, if you are a Christian here this morning. No one richer than a citizen of Christ's kingdom. Yes, you may not have all of the health, all of the wealth, and all of the prosperity of this world. Very few Christians do. So many Christians are poor, materially speaking, at least in this age. But if you are a Christian, you are rich because you have great spiritual treasures. You have forgiveness. You are no longer guilty. You have forgiveness. You are right with God. You have peace with God. You have a living hope that not even death can expunge. Doesn't this world need hope? Don't people in this world cry out for hope? If you are a Christian, you have hope that goes beyond the grave. You have absolute eternal security. Again, don't people in this world crave security and seek security in so many things? Money, power, their work, family, whatever it may be. Only the kingdom of heaven, being a member of the kingdom, gives you eternal security. No one can take you out of it. You have joy, joy that is inexpressible, that is full of glory, even in dark times, even in great sadness, even when you are near to despair, you have the joy of Christ by his Spirit within you. And most of all, of course, you have Christ himself. You have the King of this kingdom, whose grace to you, whose presence with you is, of course, what makes this kingdom so incomparably rich. You have the Lord Jesus. You have the one, in other words, who gave up everything in order to obtain you. You have the one who was so determined to get you that he even died for you. You have the one who rejoices over you with great joy, inexpressible and full of glory. There really is no one better off than the Christian. That is the reality. Do you believe it? Do you believe what Jesus teaches here about the supreme value of his kingdom? Secondly, we see Jesus repeating his warning about judgment. That's the second thing we see in this passage, Jesus repeating his warning about the judgment to come. Now, he's already spoken about how there will be a final separation at the close of the age, how there will be a final judgment. He's spoken of that, as we saw last week, in the parable of the weeds. The weeds will be separated from the wheat. And now he repeats that same message in the parable of the net. And here he describes how all sorts of fish are gathered into the kingdom during this age, both good fish and bad fish. But only the good fish will be there in the kingdom in the age to come. Only the righteous will remain. The evil will be cast out. Now, clearly, the fact that Jesus repeats his teaching on this subject of judgment, this subject of hell, clearly it shows it was extremely important to him, doesn't it? I mean, he speaks on many other occasions as well about the reality of the judgment to come and of the awful reality of hell as well. Jesus clearly felt it was incredibly important. Otherwise, he wouldn't have spoken about it so much. He wouldn't have repeated it in such a short space of time. Jesus, of course, is the one who knows all things. Jesus knows exactly what we are like. He has searched us and he has known us. He knows what's in our hearts. And one of the things that he knows about us is that we don't tend to like being told uncomfortable truths. We just don't like it. We tend to ignore them or dismiss them or suppress them. And there really surely is no more uncomfortable truth than the truth of the judgment that's to come and the reality of hell. I mean, who likes to be told that they or the people that they love may well end up in the fiery furnace? No one likes to be told that. But you see, however uncomfortable it is, it is true. It's true. Jesus only ever spoke the truth. He could do no other. Jesus knows that we need to hear the truth, and he knows that we need to hear it again and again and again because of our inherent tendency to ignore, to disregard, to dismiss, to suppress the truth, especially uncomfortable truths, truths that we just don't like. That's why he repeats it. He's full of truth, but he's also full of grace. He's the one who came full of grace as well as full of truth. Why does Jesus repeatedly issue these warnings about judgment and about hell? Well, not, of course, because he has any malice in his heart, not because he wants to frighten us or terrorize us, no. He does so out of love. He does so because he wants to save us. Let me just state a very simple truth. Jesus loves sinners. That's the main reason he came into this world. That was his chief mission, to show his love for sinners by dying on the cross for them and therefore saving them from hell, bringing them into his kingdom of heaven. Jesus is full of truth and full of grace. That's why he repeats so often his warnings about the judgment to come. Have you acted on those repeated warnings? Have you made Jesus your eternal refuge, your sanctuary? Can you say this morning, yes, Jesus is my Savior? I know that he has saved me from hell. Can you say that this morning? You see, no one ever loves like Jesus. And no one ever spoke more of hell than Jesus, and the two are connected. The two are connected. Do you love people enough to tell them that a judgment is coming? Not to tell them, of course, in any sort of proud or arrogant or harsh manner, with any sort of vindictiveness or malicious glee. Not at all. That's not Christianity. But with great sensitivity, with great compassion, yes, with tears in your eyes, do you love people enough to tell them the truth that unless they turn to Jesus in repentance and in faith, they'll be thrown into the fiery furnace? I know that's one of the hardest things to tell people. It's probably the hardest. People don't like to hear it. You don't like to tell them. But we need to tell them. So let's pray for the grace and the courage to do so. Jesus highlights the value of his kingdom. He repeats his warning about judgment. And then thirdly and finally, we see him training his disciples for the kingdom. That's the third thing. Jesus trains his disciples for the kingdom. He asks them in verse 51, have you understood all these things? In other words, have you understood what I've just been teaching you in parables about the kingdom? And they say yes. And then he goes on to say in verse 52, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Now, Jesus, as you know, he had gathered around himself 12 disciples. They would form the foundation of his new people, his new covenant people, the new Israel. And these 12 disciples, they would go on to spend roughly three years with Jesus, and Jesus would teach them and train them and disciple them in the truths of his kingdom, the truth that he came to reveal. And that must have been a marvelous experience, mustn't it? A marvelous experience to spend 3 years in close contact with the Lord Jesus, being taught and trained and discipled by him. Because, of course, there was no greater rabbi than Jesus, no greater teacher. He was smarter than all the scribes. He outwitted all the teachers of the law. No one knew the scriptures like Jesus. No one could teach the scriptures like Jesus. And to cap it all off, his words were seen in his life, weren't they? His words were seen in his life. Jesus was the living epistle. How amazing it must have been to be schooled in the seminary of Jesus. And these disciples, they were trained to become experts in the kingdom, that so that like a master of a house, they could then bring out of the treasure chest of the kingdom what was new and what was old. That's what Jesus was training them to do, to become scribes, experts in the kingdom, so that out of the treasure chest of the kingdom they could bring out what was new and what was old. What does that mean, to bring out what is new and what is old? Well, it seems to me that the best way to understand this distinction between what is new and what is old is to understand it as the distinction between new covenant revelation and old covenant revelation. That, I think, is the distinction that Jesus is making here. New covenant revelation and old covenant revelation. The scribes, you see, that he mentions the word there, scribe. They were the generally recognized experts in the law. I mean, Jesus shows them where they get a lot of things wrong, but they were generally recognized in that society as the experts in the law, the old covenant scriptures. The scribes were the experts. And so Jesus' disciples, his apostles, they were being trained by him to become scribes, to become experts in the truths of the kingdom, in new covenant revelation. New truths, you must understand, which did not contradict the old truths, which did not do away with the old truths, but which brought out the full meaning of those old truths. That is what these disciples were being trained to do. They were being trained to bring out the new truths as they had been revealed with the coming of the Lord Jesus. New truths which were new in the sense of fulfilling the old. Bringing out the full meaning of the old covenant scriptures. And this is what these disciples, these apostles, having been trained by Jesus for 3 years at close quarters, would go on to do. They would go on to bring out the full meaning of the Old Testament, meaning that was there embedded in the Old Covenant scriptures. But they would bring out that meaning into the light and show how it was fulfilled in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. And of course they would then communicate that through writing the New Testament scriptures as we have them. They were to be the scribes of the new covenant scriptures. That's what Jesus is speaking of here. That's what he means by them bringing out of the treasure of the kingdom what is new and what is old. Showing how everything points to and is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. and how everything comes to light in him. And the wonderful thing for us is that through the scribal record of these apostles, the New Testament, we too are trained in the school of Christ. We have the privilege of being trained in the school of Christ. You see, we have the treasure store of the kingdom in the writings of the apostles. As they've been added to the prophetic writings, we have the treasure chest in the Bible. This is our great treasury. And you see, by the Spirit and through the Word, we have the privilege as Christians who are in the kingdom of sitting at the feet of our Lord Jesus and of learning from him as he opens up to us the treasures of his word. This is what we do when we read our Bibles during the week. This is particularly what we do when we gather together every Sunday. We come to do what? To sit at the feet of Jesus, our teacher, and to listen to him as he speaks to us through his word, his apostolic word, and by his Spirit. And as we listen to him, our teacher, our prophet, so we are trained as disciples in his kingdom. We are then trained to teach our children, to teach others, to show people the riches of the word. Yes, we're not apostles, but as we study the apostolic scriptures, listening to Jesus, we see things that otherwise we would never see. We gain fresh insight as day by day, week by week, we sit at Christ's feet and listen to him as he opens up his word. I don't know if you've ever had the experience, I'm sure you have, of being taught by a wonderful teacher. I had it at school with one in particular. I had it with a couple of my professors at university. Amazing teachers, and you just love sitting in their classes, listening to them. They made the subject live. It ceased to become a sort of academic subject. It was something that had life, something that you wanted to study and wanted to find out about and wanted to learn and grow in. They brought it to life. That was the gift they had. They were wonderful teachers. What an experience. And you know, Jesus is the best teacher in the world. There's no other teacher like Jesus. And surely there are few richer experiences, therefore, than being trained and being taught by him. And it's really only the well-taught, the well-instructed disciple who ends up being a happy disciple. It's a wonderfully happy experience to be in the classroom of a great teacher. And it makes you joyful. It's a pretty miserable experience to be in the classroom of someone who's not such a great teacher. There's no better teacher than the Lord Jesus. And if you don't enjoy listening to him and learning from his word, then that tells you more about your own heart than it does about Christ. Because he is the greatest teacher the world has ever seen. So will you listen to him? That's the challenge. That's the question. Will you listen to Jesus? Will you honor him as your prophet, as God's prophet? Sadly, the people in Jesus' own hometown, the town of Nazareth, they didn't. They didn't listen to him. They didn't honor him. They were astonished, we're told, at his teaching, verse 54. They'd never heard such wisdom before. They couldn't believe it. Where did this man get such wisdom, such authority? They were astonished, but verse 57, they took offense at him. They stumbled over him. They didn't listen to him. Why? Why didn't they? Well, it was because Jesus was just one of them. He was one of them. carpenter's son. His mother's called Mary. We know his brothers. His sisters are here with us. He's just a villager. A simple villager like us. He doesn't belong with the educated class. It's not right for him to be teaching people and doing miracles. We need to bring him down a peg or two. Show him where he belongs, here in the village, doing the sorts of things that we villagers do. You see, the people of Nazareth, they stumbled over Jesus. They rejected him. They did not listen to him. They were scandalized by him. Why? Because he did not fit into their preconceived categories. They found it impossible to think that one of their own could possibly be any different from them. That's why they took offense at him. He's just one of us. He shouldn't be doing that. We can't listen to him, even though they recognized how wise his teaching was. And I don't know, but perhaps Jesus just doesn't fit into your preconceived categories of what a great teacher should be. I mean, Jesus, an awful lot's been written about him, but he didn't write lots of books, didn't write any books. He didn't study at the elite universities. He was just a villager. A poor boy. He doesn't have lots of letters after his name. But no one ever taught like Jesus. No one. No one ever spoke with such wisdom or with such grace or with such power and authority. No one. And his word, his teaching, which we have here in our hands this morning, this word, it won't only stretch your mind for eternity, which it will. It will also refresh your heart. It will give life to your soul. It will give you a spring in your step. It will change you. If you just sit and listen. That's what the Lord is saying to you this morning. Sit and listen to me. Forget about all the noise of the world, all the distractions of living in this world. Just sit down and listen to me. Will you? Will you just sit down and listen to Jesus through his word? Will you honor Jesus as your great teacher, as your prophet, who came into this world to teach the treasures of his kingdom and to die on the cross in order to bring you into his kingdom, that you might know and enjoy all of his treasures for all eternity? Amen.